It's good to see all of you this morning. I count it a great blessing to be healthy enough and have the ability to come here to gather with the saints, to participate in all the acts of worship that we've already gone through together. At this time, we are going to go through a portion of God's Word, and I hope and pray that you will be looking at the verses with me, examining the Scriptures for yourself, because you need to know that there's a responsibility that God has laid upon you to know and to understand the truth from God's Word, and to make application in your life. You know, God has a calling for you in your life, no matter who you are, where you're from, where you were born, or your financial situation. God loves you, and He has a calling on your life. The question is, are we listening? If I said a name to you, let's see what you first think of. Naaman. There's a guy named Naaman in the Bible. Actually, there's more than one, but there's one specific Naaman I'm talking about. You may be thinking with me, Naaman the leper, the one who was cleansed during the days of Elisha. Let's look at Luke chapter 4 together, and we'll begin our study because we're going to look at Naaman ultimately. But first, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Let's just take note of something that Jesus says about Naaman. Luke 4 and verse 25. Jesus says, "But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. And when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." And so Jesus is talking to his listeners, and he's talking to us too. But he makes this point about the widows that were there during the time of Elijah in the nation of Israel. And then he says there were many lepers during the time of Elisha, and none of them was healed or cleansed except for Naaman. And so the Lord is saying something to all of us. You know, I think the main point here of what Jesus is saying is that now that he's cleansing lepers repeatedly over and over again, really everywhere that he goes, leprosy is being cleansed. This would be something the nation had never seen before. And so the Lord's calling them back to a time when there were many lepers in Israel, and yet none of them were cleansed except Naaman. And he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a Syrian. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's just look at this story of Naaman, the life that he lived, and the time that he lived. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I hope that you're reading with me. "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing." And so we have this introduction of Naaman the leper. There are some things that are said to us about this man, and I think we need to take note of them. The Bible has them here for a reason. Naaman, we're told, is a commander or a general in the Syrian army. He has a high position of authority. He is a great and honorable man. Now, this is God's estimation of Naaman. He's a great and honorable man. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a mighty warrior. And it even tells us that God, through him, gave victory to Syria. So there's something else going on here. God blessed Naaman in his raids and attacks against other nations. He gave victory to Syria because God was with him. So all these great things are said about Naaman, but then there's a problem, isn't there? The verse says, but, at the end of verse 1 in 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, but he was a leper. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with leprosy, it's known today as Hansen's disease. Dr. Hansen found a way to arrest or to stop the movement of leprosy through one's body. But in this day and age, when you had leprosy, your life was over. If you were told or you found that you had leprosy in your body, it was a slow and painful and awful death. You hear of leper colonies, people who were diagnosed with leprosy were sent out of their city or the camp. If you're in the nation of Israel, you could not mingle with other people because you were leprous and it was contagious. And so there was a serious problem with leprosy. So Naaman, we're told all these great things about Naaman. He's a great and honorable man. He's a mighty man of valor, but he's got a serious problem. He has leprosy. A death sentence has been written out for this man, despite his greatness. Now, we're told in the story, as we've read together, that there's a young girl involved in this who plays a crucial role in Naaman's life. And I want us to take note of this. A young girl from Israel, she knows and she trusts her God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she said, if only my master could go to the prophet, he would heal Naaman. And so this information is given, and it's interesting because this great and mighty man, who is a commander in the army, is willing to pursue the hope that this young servant girl has offered to him. And what's more interesting is the king from Syria, Naaman's boss, agrees that we should pursue this. This young servant girl says, hey, if he goes over to my country and he sees the prophet, he'll be healed of his leprosy. This message goes all the way to the king of Syria, and he says, let's do it. And he sends him with money, he sends him with changes of clothes. And so we're going to see Naaman now is on his way. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 6 says, then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now this is the letter from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive? That this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. The king of Israel is flabbergasted at this letter. He has no idea what to do with it. We read together that this letter goes to the king, and he says, we've been given information, but that's why the letter was sent, and so you heal my servant. Now, the king of Israel tears his clothes, which means he has no idea. He is floored by this statement. And he says something that's very important. Am I God? Why would the king of Syria send someone to me and tell me this is something I have to do? I don't have the ability or the power to do that. Well, his mind and his heart is in the right place. He doesn't have the power or the ability to do it. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, we read it together, and this is part of the reason why we read it. Jesus said that there were many lepers in the days of Naaman, and none of them were healed. The king of Israel had his own leprosy problem. They had leprous colonies where they were sending people out of the camp. There were lepers everywhere. And so the king says, why did you send this man to me? I can't do anything for him. If I could, I would heal the others. And so the king says, let's look into this and find out why he's trying to start a fight with us. There can be no other reason for this letter than this king wants to go to war. He's asking me to do something that only God can do. And again, I think that's a great place for us to be in our heart and our mind. When we look at challenges in our life, there's something difficult coming up. There are some things you can't fix. There are some things that your parents can't fix. There are some things that your boss will not be able to fix. You need to know who to turn to. The God of Israel. This king understands that. Am I God? We know who God is, and we have the ability to turn to Him and to speak to Him and to share our hearts with Him and tell Him what's on our mind. Tell Him why we're hurting and why we're missing something in our lives. He knows. He's created you. He loves you. He knows. Go to God. The king understands that. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5 now. After the king believes that war is about to start, something good will happen. In verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. We got a serious problem here. Naaman has pursued the claim of the young servant girl that there was a prophet in Israel who could cleanse him. He believes it. He knows he's sick, and he believes it to the point to go and to inquire. He goes to Elisha the prophet's house, and something is said to him that he didn't think would happen. And so he's going to leave in a rage. Imagine, if you will, with me, you have leprosy. You know that you're going to die. The nature of the disease works in such a way that you lose feelings in your extremities first. Leprosy grows and develops much quicker in the cooler parts of the body. So the first things to go are your fingers, your toes, your ears, and your nose. And so this man may already be suffering from loss of fingers, losing feeling in his extremities. Leprosy creeps in towards the heart as it takes over the body. And you're desensitized. You lose the feeling in your extremities. He goes to Elisha's house, and he expects to be healed. He stands and knocks at the door. He's got his horses and his men with him, and he's waiting to see the prophet of God. So he's going to set this up in his mind. He's expecting something to happen. Now a messenger comes to the door, not Elisha, but the messenger of Elisha comes to the door, and he says, here is what you must do. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now you read it with me. We know that Naaman is furious because this didn't happen the way he expected it to happen. And not only that, what does he say about the rivers where he's from? He said, we got cleaner and better rivers than the Jordan. I came all this way to hear I got to dip 7 times in that filthy river? No, you don't know who I am. I'm a commander of the Syrian army, and I have been granted victory time and time again. I'm pretty special. I'm pretty important, and the rivers where I'm from are beautiful. Yours is quite pathetic, actually, and I will not dip in that river. What's his problem? I hope we all see. I know most of us know this story, but what's his problem? He was told that if he came here, he would be cleansed. He's been given the information he needs to be cleansed. And yet, he says, I'm not doing that. Why do we do that? Why do we hear the good news and know that this is something that's been given to us and say, nah. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know. We need to be thinking about that. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 13. Another wonderful thing will happen in Naaman's life. 2 Kings 5 and verse 13 says, and his servant came near and he spoke to him while he was still angry, for sure. And he said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Elisha is not going to take the gift from Naaman. But in verse 17, Naaman says to Elisha, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. What a great statement. I need some of your dirt, some of your land to take with me, because I will never sacrifice to another god, but only to your God. And so several things took place here. We watched Naaman be healed and be cleansed together as we've read it. His servant says to him while he's still angry, Father, if he would have said something great, like if he would ask you to do something just amazing and wonderful and really hard to do, would you not have done it? Now remember, Naaman is still consumed with leprosy. The servant says, look, if he said to do something hard, would you not have done it? How hard is it to look at your own skin and say, I'll do anything. I will do anything. You said there's a way to stop this from killing me. I will do anything. If he would have given you something great, you would have done it. And you would have done it immediately. He's given you a simple task. And then we see Naaman's heart and his mind change. He goes to the Jordan River. He dips 7 times in the Jordan River, and it tells us that his flesh became like the flesh of a little child. Remember what Naaman does for a living? He is a mighty man of valor. He probably has wounds and scars, and his hands are chapped and, you know, hard and gristly. He's probably got concrete hands. One of those people you shake their hands and they almost break your hand, you know. He's a man. He's a man's man. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a champion. And the Lord has blessed him with skin, the flesh of a little child. Not just his old skin. He gave him something better. He obeyed, and he was given something more than he probably would have expected by God. Just imagine this grown man coming out of the river having the flesh of a little child, pure skin, smooth skin, no blemishes. What a great, great thing that would be, because he obeyed. And he says to Elisha, indeed, there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Remember what he said? He said, now I know. He had a hint before. He had a clue that he could be helped because he came. He brought the money. He brought the changes of clothes. He expected something, but he didn't know it. He didn't witness it for himself. Now that he's come out of the river and he gets back to Elisha's house, he says, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. He asks from Naaman for 2 mule loads of dirt from the land, and he says because he wants to offer sacrifice to the Lord in Syria when he goes home. He is henotheistic. He believes that there are multiple gods, but he does honor and respect and have reverence for the one true God. And so that's henotheism, and it seems to be the approach that he's taking here. But I like his thought. He says, look, when I go back to my land, I want to be on the property of Israel. I believe that God is the God of Israel, and I want to take some of Israel back with me. And so that's granted to him to do. The prophet allows him to do that. And we're going to take home this message about Naaman and Naaman being cleansed, and we're going to apply it to ourselves. Because you have to know, before you leave this morning, God still commands simple obedience. You know, we watch Naaman together, and it doesn't matter what situation you're in this morning. We can see ourselves somewhere in this timeline. We watched Naaman. We watched his attitude. We watched him try. We watched him get angry. And then we watched him turn once his servant said, wouldn't you do it? If it was something great, wouldn't you have done it? There's something said to him that makes him turn. And so we need to know as Christians today that God today, the same God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, commands simple obedience. The first point we have to take, in my opinion, when we look at Naaman, is that Naaman knew he was sick. Please understand what I'm saying to you. Naaman had leprosy. He could look at his flesh and know that he needed help. Today, in this world, God has offered to us the good news through his son, Jesus Christ. He says, if you are baptized in the watery grave of baptism, you will rise up out of that watery grave a new creature before God. All of your sins will be washed. The problem I think that people face today is it's not a physical sickness that we can actually look at and see and say, I need help. I'm in trouble. Leprosy will do that. Leprosy will speed up your trip to Israel if you need to have that cured. You'll be moving right along to get that done. The problem today is that the world is deceived in believing that they're okay in their sin, that maybe there's something else that would be offered other than the Son of God that God has given to us so that we can be cleansed and made whole and have the flesh of a young child, as it were, as we stand before God. He has granted this to us. Naaman could look at his skin and know that he was sick. If you are not a member of the Lord's church, if you have not been baptized, if you have not obeyed the simple commandment of Jesus Christ, in Mark 16 and verse 16, he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now guess what? If you have not been obedient to the gospel and you have not been baptized, you're Naaman. You have leprosy. You are scarred with sin. Your soul is scarred. God cannot look upon your sin and be pleased in that. You are not pleasing to God in the situation that you are in. So, the messenger of God, that would be me this morning, would say to you, you need to dip into the watery grave of baptism. Because when you come out, you're going to be whole and you're going to be new before God. Because your sins have been washed by the blood of Christ. He gave his life so that you can be saved. And the simple commandment is, be baptized, and you shall be saved. Be obedient to God's will. What we need to draw out here as we look at Naaman is we need to be able to look at ourselves and understand that we are sick. without Jesus Christ, we are sick and we are headed for a place that no human being should ever go. Don't let that happen. Understand the commandment that was given to Naaman. Understand what he should have done and what he ultimately did do. And understand where you are. Sin is a very real problem in this world. The Bible tells us that sin, the wages of sin is death. To take that statement, the wages of sin is death, and just think about it with me. What happens in this life? We grow old, we get sick, we have illnesses, we know that death is coming. And the Bible gives us the prescription. Why that happens? Because of sin. Remember, God told Adam and Eve in the beginning, if you partake of this fruit, the tree of knowledge, it's sin, and you will surely die. Adam introduced sin into the world, and we still have that serious, serious problem. You have a soul that's worth more than all the earth, and God wants it to come home to Him. Are you going to do it? Are you going to be like Naaman? And realize that this simple task that's been requested, this simple obedience to God, is all that He requires in order for you to be cleansed, to be washed, and to walk up and to come out of the watery grave and newness of life. It's a serious question, and you need to take it seriously. Remember with Naaman, there were several people who helped him to get the answer that he needed. And so I want you to think about this too. You know, again, now whether you're baptized and you're a member of the church and you're serving the Lord as you should, or you're still contemplating this and thinking about Naaman and his sickness, remember the people that helped him? First of all, it was a servant girl who says, if only my master was with the prophet in Israel, he could heal him. Somebody told you to come here. Somebody asked you to come here. You know who it was? A servant. A servant of God, I'm hoping. You're here. In Naaman's case, he had two kings, two servants, and a prophet, and his messenger. There was a repeated theme of, hey, let's do this. Let's go here. Let's do this. You need to do this. And finally, Naaman says, I'm going to do it. And he goes and gets down into the water. But I want us to think about our own lives. Somebody shared the truth with me. That's why I'm standing up here. Somebody thought enough about me and my life and enough about my soul to say, young man, I was young when they said it, young man, you need the gospel. You're going to have to give an account to God one day for the actions you've taken in this life, for the things that you've said, and you cannot stand before Him without an advocate, without your lawyer, Jesus Christ. When you are baptized and you confess the name of Jesus, now He stands in your place. He actually pays that penalty for you. He's handing you a free ticket, and you need to accept it. We don't know how much longer God will tarry. You need to accept it. And by the way, if you have accepted it, then you also have to have an attitude like Naaman to say, there is no other God. I know what God's done for me. I know that without God, I'd be laying in a ditch somewhere if I'm lucky. I wouldn't be half the father that I am today without God. He saved me. He saved the life that I was supposed to have, and He made it into something it was supposed to be. And He's still changing me every day. He's talking to me with His Word. He's conforming me into the image of His Son, and I thank God every day. We're changing. We're growing. We're developing as Christians, and you better be. Follow the simple obedient, the simple commandment from God, and be obedient to His Word. The final point I would take from Naaman is that Almighty God certainly cleansed him from his leprosy once he obeyed the instruction. You know, what would happen if Naaman went back to Pharfar, the river where he was from, and jumped in that 7 times, or 40 times, or 37 times? What would happen to Naaman? He'd come out, and he would still have leprosy, and he'd still have the sentence of death on his life. The question is, do you understand what God's calling you to do, and will you do it? It's so simple. It's such a great gift from God, and yet He hasn't made it this great thing. If I knew that eternity was in jeopardy in my life, that I would either suffer the punishment of hell for all of eternity and it will never stop, or that I could be with God Almighty forever and ever to be in His presence and to rejoice with the saints who have been faithful to Him, if those were my two choices, I would fight tooth and nail to say, don't let me go to hell. Let me know what I have to do. Show me. Show me. I'll do it. I don't care what it is. Show me. And you need to have that sense of urgency too, because there's no guarantee that tomorrow will come. You need to have that sense of urgency. You show me and I'll do it. I don't care how hard it is. Well, guess what? It's not hard. It's not hard. You have to hear the word of God, believe the message, and then act upon it. Confess the name of Jesus Christ and understand that He is your Lord and your Savior and that He gave His precious blood on that cross so that you could be with God forever and ever. He thought enough about you to die on that cross. Unjustly, I might add. How do you feel about Him? He already loves you. Do you love Him? If you need to obey the gospel, if you see yourself in the position that Naaman was in, we would love to rejoice with you this morning. This congregation will rejoice and rejoice and rejoice, as do the angels in heaven as they stand in the presence before God when one sinner repents and turns to God. If you need to come forward, you do that right now while together we stand and sing.